those of you who are citizens, now more than just citizens, if you live in the United States, and you know that last night was something that is referred to as election night. The problem is, there was no election. Not for president. Didn't happen. People voted. But there was not an election. And, you know, it was amazing. It's still amazing. In all my life, I mean, I can remember back to when John F. Kennedy was running for president. That's back in the early 60s. Well, in fact, the first time he ran was 1960. And from that point on, I don't ever remember adults talking about an election being as crazy as what we've seen the last few elections. And I cannot remember, I mean, there's never been an election like the one that we have had here now. Never. In the history of this country, never. It's never been like this, ever. And insanity has impacted so many people. I mean, it really, there is no mental stability demonstrated in so many people who are grown adults. People who have been elected to serve in government, they are not demonstrating great balance, mental balance. I'm not talking about one single person, okay? Let's not go off on a tangent here. Well, it's a spirit of confusion. It is a reprobate mind. I mean, on and on it goes. I've never seen anything like this. It's pathetic. It's sad. And I received a text from someone today asking me if I had any, I guess you could call it like a word from the Lord or some kind of insight as to this election. Now, I received the text today because, as you know, it's not over. And it's not going to be over for days. We already know that for a fact. Because there is at least one state that is going to receive votes up through November 6th. Well, we were supposed to have it over and done with last night. And I can remember years ago, you know, you had election on Tuesday night, Monday or Wednesday, you knew who won. Not anymore. The absolute foolishness of early voting is ridiculous. It is a Pandora's box of corruption. Already, well, I'm not going to go off on too much of a tangent here, but reports, you know, of votes not being delivered and all this other, it's nuts. What, you know what's really bad is that some of you in this room, you're not old enough to remember when there was some kind of stability in our voting process. I remember it. Well, I received this text. Do you have any insight? And I'm going to read to you my reply. Nothing regarding a finality, but much grieving inwardly regarding President Trump, and that he should have won last night. It should be over. That's not an opinion. That is, thus saith the Lord. I said nothing about these things prior till now. So you can say, well, you know, hindsight's 20/20. No, I'm telling you, it was supposed to be over last night. That was God's intention. And a lot of people, you know, they're just Christians. They're whacked out. Well, God puts whoever He wants. And no, He doesn't. Not, He will not violate our will. It's not His fault. We set up a country where people get to vote And basically, we vote him out, and we have over the decades. Ever since this country was established, slowly but surely, we've been pushing God out. So again, it was supposed to be over last night. And it was supposed to have been a landslide crushing victory for Donald Trump. That's what it was supposed to have been. That was the will of God. But I'll continue reading my response. But too many Christians are so pathetically backslidden, they refuse to live and vote by every word of God. They are just like the Jews who turned on Moses and wanted to go back to Egypt. In my emotions, I'd like to see the holy fire of judgment released on them, or at least dreams of as much that would scare them to their knees. I mean that as I'm standing here. I mean it. Now, I'm not wishing for people to die. However, if you are a Christian and you are so cold in your walk with God that you have become a stumbling block to righteousness in this nation, you need to be pushed out of the way. Now, that may sound harsh, but let's think about what happened in the Old Testament. Let's think about what happened when Korah and his bunch became a stumbling block to the nation of Israel. Remember what happened there? Oh, yeah. I will not be surprised. I don't even know what this means. But I won't be surprised if some kind of judgment is not released on this country. Now, we have a situation to where something's happening. You know, there were, and I don't know how much you followed this voting process this year, but there were some states that were definitively in Donald Trump's, he already had these states. Something happened overnight, in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, untold thousands of Democrat votes suddenly showed up. Where'd they come from? I'm telling you, something's going on. It's not right. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I do know this. Liars are going to lie, cheaters are going to cheat, and as long as they can get power, they don't care how they do it. That is the liberal agenda. So that's what we're looking at. And the problem is, you've got all these milquetoast Christians who have bought into the lies of the liberal agenda, and they trust man more than they trust God. It's sad. It's despicable. And just like, you know, some people might say, Brother Martin, you've got to walk in love. Just like Jesus walked in love with the religious leaders who should have known better. Hypocrites, brood of vipers. He told them they were going to hell. And here they were, listen to this, here they were following the law to the letter, offering the sacrifices. So outwardly, it looked like everything was fine between them and God. And Jesus looked at them and said, you guys are going to hell because your heart's not right. Well, that got him crucified. No different today. Figuratively speaking, Christians who stand up for the things of God are being, quote, crucified. You're taken to task. Even other Christians will come at you, do what they can to tear you down. I went to bed last night. Everything's fine. Then all of a sudden, about 2:30, I woke up, and I had this, I don't know how to describe it, this anxiety, this turmoil on the inside. And I don't know what was going on. I mean, my heart was beating, and there was just this inner upheaval. And I'm laying there in bed, it's like, God, what's going on? What's going on? What is this? What's happening? And so at first, you know, I started repenting. I didn't even know what I was repenting for. I'm trying to cover all the bases. Like, what? Did I do something bad here? What is this? But then for about an hour, I just worshiped. I just worshiped. And I fell back asleep. You know how when you go to sleep, you don't really know what time you go to sleep. You just wake up later and realize, I went to sleep. Well, you know, I did that, worshiped for about an hour, and then the next time I opened my eyes, it was about 5:30. Well, that happened to me at about 2:30 in the morning. What I found out today was, at 2 o'clock in the morning in Tulsa, which is 3 o'clock in the morning here, all of a sudden, Gary Carpenter was awakened. And it was just laid on his heart. He starts praying and going over the confessions again. That's not an accident. And then this afternoon, Pastor Bronk was praying, and he said, all of a sudden, for a half an hour, just this prevailing and intercession just came all over him, and he was weeping and crying out in tongues and so forth. That's because God is moving. It's not over. It's not over. And I'm telling you right now, I believe that there has been a lot of, I'll just say, unethical behind the curtain stuff going on to flip some of these states. I truly believe that. Because the pattern of corruption within the Democrat Party has grown to the point to where sometimes it's not even hidden. And when it's brought to the surface, the secular media, they tend to just kind of brush it away and don't really bring it to the forefront. If it's bad enough, they will. We've got a serious problem in this nation, in this election. The only reason this is happening is because evil wants to reign. And there are people that are politicians. They are so totally consumed by evil, but they don't realize it. Their eyes are blinded to it. Well, this shouldn't come as a terrible surprise because it's essentially prophesied these kind of things are going to happen. You know, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, as it was in the days of Noah. So we shouldn't be too shocked. But you know, it makes no sense that some people nowadays consider all of this rioting to be acceptable. I mean, it's weird. That's just plain old weird. And I don't remember who I was talking to, but I said, you know, those people that are rioting, they better thank God that they weren't Jews living under the law in the Old Testament, or they wouldn't be around. And they better thank God that they weren't living under Roman rule in the New Testament, or they wouldn't be around. You'd have a legion of Roman soldiers march in, and they'd take you out. No questions asked. No mercy. Just take you out. You're not doing that. And so what you have today is a corrupted mindset by politicians who just accept some of this and in some cases actually endorse it. Now those kind of people, need to be removed. Now, I'm not saying you go kill them, but they need to be removed. But like I've said before, law is for the lawless and force is for the rebellious. And force has not been used enough in this country to bring about stability, and that is why we have this situation today. Now I know some people won't like what I'm saying, and I know I don't care. And I'm not trying to be belligerent. I'm just saying, if you read Scripture, there comes a point in time where God says, that's it. And stuff happens. Like I said here not too long ago, there's no reason, no logical reason for our West Coast to be burning. Other than the fact that it's ultra-liberal. There's no reason for Colorado to be burning. Other than the fact it's ultra-liberal. There's no reason for New York to be in such calamity, other than the fact it is ultra-liberal. I mean, there's no reason for Chicago to be inundated with all of these murders that are happening week in, week out, week out, week in. Just all these murders. There's no reason, other than the fact it is ultra-liberal. There's a pattern in this. And too many people don't see it. The lost, they don't get it. And the Christians, it's like they've got their head buried in the sand. We've got a serious problem here, but the thing is, it's not over. It's not at all over. I'm going to read something to you that came out today. Now, this is put out by a ministry. I'm not sure the name of the ministry, but it's the ministry of a man named Jeremiah Johnson. Now, before I go any further, I want to make this explicitly clear. I am not endorsing the ministry of Jeremiah Johnson because I do not know enough about his ministry. So, after I read this, if you want to follow up with his ministry and find out more about what he does and preaches and teaches, I mean, that is totally up to you, but I'm telling you right now, you better pray. Because I don't know, I can't give you a recommendation. So, some people consider him to be a genuine prophet in these days. I don't know. I really don't know what to say, but this right here is interesting. And apparently they send out an email or something each week. It says, "Today is a special edition of Watchman Wednesday due to the U.S. presidential election. Over the past year, there has been much discussion over Jeremiah's book, Trump and the Future of America." I haven't read this book. I'm not recommending it. And I'm not telling you to stay away from it. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, his book, Trump and the Future of America, of particular interest is chapter 9, where Jeremiah gave an answer to the most frequent question he had been receiving at that time. Or at the time, and all throughout the year leading up to November 3rd. Will Donald Trump win the 2020 election? His answer in the chapter titled, "The Winner of the 2020 Election," is currently unfolding right before our very eyes as we watch state polling results trickle in, even as this email is being typed. In this chapter, Jeremiah discusses a dream he had where he saw a vision of President Trump running the Boston Marathon. As he approached the finish line, onlookers began to hiss, shout, and spit on the president as he neared closer and closer to the finish. As he drew within 100 yards, the president fell. Completely exhausted and gasping for air to get up and cross the finish line, two older women emerged from the crowd and somehow squeezed past the bulky security guards. One of the two women required a walker just to be able to advance closer to the ailing president, the other with a cane. As they drew near to him, a supernatural rush of wind enabled them to lift up the president and inched him ever so slightly across the finish line. After the dream, Jeremiah was given the revelation that the two older women represented the role of the praying church who would carry him across the finish line in a last-second victory. These two women, the praying church, also represented an entire generation of people in the U.S., the baby boomers. We believe that the baby boomers have done their part in this election to make sure to get out and cast their vote, as we saw millions standing in line, wrapping around city blocks for the chance to make sure their vote has counted. But now is the time for the supernatural rush of the wind that is stirred up by the prayers of the church. Saints, we are right smack in the middle of this prophecy. Will you join in and bombard heaven with your prayers to supernaturally lift up President Trump and help him edge over the finish line? This is what will ultimately determine the outcome of this long and grueling election. There is an enormous battle raging right now in the spiritual realm. The darkness is trying to prevent itself from being exposed. We're calling all saints, intercessors, and prayer warriors to lift up the supernatural wind and help the president, who is called for such a time as this, to cross the finish line. Will you intercede for this nation? Now, I hope this is a genuine prophecy. I really do. Because that's what it's going to take, is a last-second victory. Now, what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to lead you in some confessions that are specifically for what's happening right now, especially in light with this particular prophetic word. Now, I'm going to lead you in these confessions, and then afterward, we're going to spend some time praying, and I encourage you to spend a lot of this time praying in the Spirit. Now, these confessions are up here on the altar. So after we finish and we've begun the prayer, if you would like to come up and get a copy and confess them again during this time of prayer, then I encourage you to do that. But we at least need to try. You know? I mean, we at least need to try. How can we say that this would be wasted time to confess like this and then to spend time praying? It's not wasted time. And during my back and forth texting with Pastor Bronk, Gary Carpenter, Tim Stemple, I sent them a copy of these confessions. Well, they got back to me and said, we're using them in our services as well. So right now, in Immokalee, Florida, these confessions are being declared. And Tulsa's an hour behind us, but they will be making these confessions as well. And it's not that these are the do-all and be-all of confessions, but they are confessions over what's happening right now. You'll recognize some of what we're going to be saying as having been a part of the confessions that we made prior to the election. And so it's kind of a mixture of some of that and then some things that are different. But let's go ahead and do this, and then we'll enter into a time of prayer. And then I'll come back up here in a little bit, and we'll close off. Father, I present myself to you as one who is willing to make up the hedge and stand in the gap before you on behalf of this election. I come against a spirit of confusion that would want to impact the way the votes are counted. I declare the spirit of confusion bound in Jesus' name. According to the power and authority given to me by God, in Jesus' name, I speak to you, spirit of confusion, and I command that you silence your tongue and cease your actions. You will not have an impact on this election. I come against every principality, power, ruler of darkness, and spiritual wickedness that would present a stronghold against the man God knows should be elected. I speak to you and command you to be cast out now in Jesus' name. Jesus has given to me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever I loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Satan, you and all your devils are bound concerning this nation and this election. None of your plans for interfering with this election will succeed. I call the Father's will to be accomplished. Jesus has completely and totally defeated you and all of your principalities, powers, and devils. He made an open show of you and triumphed over you for all eternity. He has given to me that same victory. I call you and everything about you and your devils completely and thoroughly and totally defeated in this election. Satan, you and your devils have lost. The victory of Christ is known in this election. You cannot think straight to carry out your plans. You speak against other devils. And your house is divided. It cannot stand. It has come to an end. You are thoroughly and utterly defeated. You walk in blindness. Division has filled your camp. Lord, make your words in our mouth fire, and may the plans of the enemy be as wood consumed and devoured by that fire. Set ambushments against all those who are trying to interfere with and alter the outcome of this election. May confusion fill their camps as it did in the camps of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. May they devastate each other. May their plans and agendas collapse at their feet. Just as you revealed to Elisha the plans of the Syrian army, expose the plans of the liberals who are trying to corrupt this election. Father, as heirs of salvation, we ask that angels be dispatched to assist these things to be done. Angels, go to your assignments as the Father directs. Enforce the victories we have spoken this day, and drive back the forces of evil. Father, we offer up prayer in the Spirit and ask that the Holy Spirit pray through us your perfect will concerning the outcome you desire for this election. Jesus, the government of your kingdom rests upon you. Likewise, I say that the government of this nation rests on you. May the man the Father wants as our president be elected. May all the votes cast for him be brought to light. Father, this battle is not ours. It is yours. You are with us. Oh God, we praise you and we worship you, for your mercy endureth forever. We praise you for the beauty of your holiness. We praise you for our salvation. We exalt you and glorify you for the victory in this election. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Now we're going to just begin a time of prayer, and again, you can come up and get a copy of these confessions. If you want to go over them again while you're here, take them with you. It's perfectly all right. And here in a little bit, I'll just come back up, and we will close out in prayer. Praise God. Everybody, go ahead and stand. I thank you for your being here tonight. Thank you for your participation in this. You know, we're not going to change the book of Revelation. It's going to happen. But we can change a lot of other things in the meanwhile. So, you know, we're just going to continue to believe. And, you know, like Jesus said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Do not let the circumstances, regardless of who wins, do not let the circumstances overwhelm you. Just don't get caught up in all of that stuff, because it is a distraction. It's a tactic of the enemy to try and get your eyes off the Lord. Well, Father, I want to thank you for tonight. We have declared these confessions, and we have spent time in prayer, praying in the Spirit, and we're believing, Father, that as we were praying, that you are moving through those prayers. And our declaration, Father, what we say is, we're believing that those who will do right by this country and right by you will be elected. That is our declaration, Father. And we will continue to be obedient unto you, where you have instructed us in your word to pray for those who are in leadership. It doesn't matter if they're president or governor or whatever they are, Father. If they're in leadership, they need our prayers. So we thank you, Father, for your moving. And we just declare, Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America.